Madam Zabwa, Rue 7. Madam Zabwa, did you know that there were lotteries and gamblings going on?
Did it?
Gamblings and lotteries.
Yes, I heard of that, but I seldom found a lot of old listings. Gambling, sure, they had listings in town.
Did you or any members of your family join any club during the times?
No, I don't think so, because my brothers were so young and my dad so old. Only after my sister got married, then maybe I think of a husband joining the office staff. They usually went to a certain place with the uniforms given to them. It seems they did some gardening. I don't remember where. Planting vegetables, all those things.
Can you remember what's the name of this club?
I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe from the office you asked to be there. I don't remember the law and things.
What about the kind of uniform that he wore?
Blue, top and bottom. Blue shirt and shorts, blue shorts. Even with them.
Any badges or?
I think so, yes. I don't know.
You mentioned that you learned the Japanese language from daily newspapers.
Yes,
so,
right.
What other kinds of news were there in the newspapers?
News, maybe about the war, I think. But the war, during the first 2 years, of course, the news about the Japanese losing in all describing the successes only. It was the end, a little bit of the truth. Usually came out bit by bit, you know, about the Allies strike, the bomb, and so forth. And the rest all about local news, those who opposed women and all that, they were punished, those things in the papers, most of them. And then the prices of goods, things in the market. And there were also publications about theater cinemas and those. There were cinemas. And sometimes they showed certain, for people who didn't go to New York. That was sponsored by radio, so if I'm not mistaken, dancers and singers and all that on stage. Singers and all those local singers. I did go to see this one, so first.
Where were they held normally? And where were the groups from?
What do you mean groups from?
The singers and dancers.
Oh, those people usually are like, yes. Maybe some who did come from Malaysia, from Malaya then. Talented singers during those times, those days.
Who were the people that normally went for such shows?
Quite a lot. Once or twice I did go there. Oh, crowded. No seats almost. And they had to bring up extra chairs and all that, like at the back. Oh, house full, I think. I don't remember where the tickets sold, but I can't remember whether it was doing the free.
What were your response? What was your response towards the war news printed in the newspapers?
Response, I don't know. Maybe some people believe that they were killing some had my doubts, you know, when you were sending it, because usually we never have the real truth fully.
How did you know that they did not print the truth?
Because even when the Japanese were announcing, the news were not true sometimes. And they found out in the end, because of this, the Allies winning. And then suddenly, in no time at all, and the Japanese reached Singapore. quite a short time.
What about the Japanese newspaper news?
Newspapers are more or less the same. I don't think they told the truth. Maybe they hit something on the truth. A little bit, yes, but they never think the real truth would be true, I think.
Were there any other kinds of religious activities during the Japanese occupation period?
Religious activities, that I don't know. You mean the teaching of?
Did the Japanese allow the people to celebrate the religious festivals?
Yes. The same as we do now. The Hari Raya and the Christmas, always the same. Only whether those people didn't understand whether they did enjoy that Christmas or Hallelujah the same way they used to, I can say.
What about your own family?
Well, we celebrated Hallelujah all right, but not the same as we used to do, say, the making of cake around, not the same thing. And new clothes and all those things. We never had.
Did you go to the mosque for your regular prayers?
I did not, but my dad, yes. There were times he didn't go, wasn't so well.
Did the Japanese interfere in these kind of activities?
Not.
You mentioned that you had reasons to stop work at the police training school.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's right. Because in the police training school, I had been given orders to leave the school, and they were being transferred to Kuala Kubu, somewhere in China. Yeah, I wonder why they were sent there. It was sometimes in 1944, if I'm not mistaken. So they were sent there. I was supposed to follow, but of course I refused. There's a girl, and the chief clerk, and also the Japanese officers asked me to come with them, to follow them, and stay with the chief clerk's family. Of course I refused. I didn't want them. Even my parents also wouldn't allow it. See? So I did not go. I resigned.
Did they compensate you for anything?
Because towards the end of the month, after I get my fee,
After this, you were engaged in the business of selling rice.
Sometime after that, my mother suggested it because she did nothing and I would do nothing. Of course, we all agreed, and my two cousins were so excited about selling those things. But for a few months, only 2 months.
After that, what happened?
Then, I think, hot news about the Allies coming. We were nearing the east side of the Philippines, maybe. I heard the news about that. And then we heard about them trying to bomb those islands that were taken by the Germans. Singapore, yeah, soon after that, Singapore was bombed.
Where did you get the news that the Allies were coming back?
Radio, the papers also. Not in the papers a lot, but we could understand clearly the meaning of things, the life's coming, and then they say, oh, we are depending on you. Well, there are silence, mistakes, well enough.
Can you remember the Allied bombing of Singapore?
I was at home, and my two cousins was out with two small glasses in the cinema. And then suddenly the siren, you know. And then the plane, the siren, one flew overhead. Oh goodness me, we all, my mother, my sisters, my brothers too. No, when we hid under the bed, just under the bed, we didn't go out to the shelter to go because of my dad was at home, so I don't know whether my dad was at home, we knew whether he was at home. And then we went there, we heard the bomb explosion, and our sugar cane trees, you know, just not far from the window, we could see the wind blowing those leaves, you know, really very terrible, and we were so scared that we kept quiet under the bed. And suddenly, quiet. And the bomb did fall somewhere, not very far from our place, but on an empty, on an awakened land where they got the bomb.
How frequent were these bombings by the Allies planes?
As far as I remember, near our place, only one. And then there were others, they said, somewhere else in Singapore.
You also mentioned that you went back to Kuala Lumpur. Mm-hmm. When was that?
After the bombing, my father became ill. Formerly he tried to resign, but he refused to allow him to resign. But he became sick, really sick, that his lifting and not swollen. And in the end, they allowed him to resign. After that, we made plans to leave Singapore for Kuala.
Why did you decide to go back to Kuala Lumpur?
Because I really don't know. Maybe because we found out my dad wasn't able to work anymore, not very well, and then I wasn't working. And then we remembered our place, our own old house in Kuala Lumpur. Was left vacant, nobody staying there. So the friends with this memory is coming. Going back. My sister also got married in Singapore lately. And then her husband, he got ill. So they were supposed to remain in Singapore. They did remain in Singapore. So we planned to go back, leaving everything behind, each other, my sister.
Did your family have any contact with Kuala Lumpur?
Later, yes, for my other sister. My elder sister was in there. Seen the fighting gas, so we stayed in the house, we left in the window. That was when they decided to leave.
So when was the year that you...
I remember that was 1945, towards the middle. The Allies were approaching, that was the time, I think. The Allies were nearer to the east, maybe somewhere in the future.
Can you tell us how you travel back to Kuala Lumpur?
We were just about planning to go, and then day by day, we kept arranging, packing line, with some of the things that we intended to do, to take care. And most of the things, of course, we sort of leaving behind, each other, my sister and husband. So, while packing, I don't know, maybe through luck, an officer, a police officer, yes, from where I used to work, it seems they came back, not to Singapore, but somewhere to Johor, from Kuala Lumpur. I really wonder why, I haven't had a chance to ask. He came to the house, to our house. My father was there. He was shocked and was, why he came back? We all were back to the south. That means as far as Johor, not in Singapore, but it's really not in Johor. So he came, and then he saw the bags all put aside. We expect someone to say. And he asked why. So my father said, I will lecture my angel. I'm not here with my father's wife. I'm going to go back to care. Really, he said, how can you go? It's very difficult now. I'm in the train and in journey. That's why he wanted to try and I did. So he offered his help. Can help from Johor easily, can easily take a train. Even then, that will be not so easy as before. So, louder than before. Maybe a few person, two or three person can go there and then the rest. That means, he told my dad, you have to come to Johor first. And he made the arrangement and the arrangements to send a truck. That was a great help. That's a, you know, send a truck with the driver, with peace, and the rain, came to our house. And my dad and my brother-in-law went to Johor by bus. And my mother also, I don't know, a few of the boys maybe went in the truck. I really, this part I can't remember. So some of the bags, you know, all taken to Johor in the truck. Jeep, it seems. Yes, not truck or jeep, I don't know, but they used that for the police. Also, for the police. And so for family.
This police inspector, was he a Japanese or a Malay?
Mostly Malay. Because they had a letter from the chief police. Happened to be at the place that go before, so they knew me and they knew my dad also.
So the one who helped you was a Malay?
Yes. No, they are Japanese. They sent me a Malay, this man and some officers to fetch our luggage.
Did you have any problems crossing the causeway?
No, we had a letter. It was a letter from the police force telling anybody who just tried to start, that we got permission to leave Singapore or Johor by permission of the police office.
From Johor, how did you go to Kuala Lumpur?
We spent the night, a day at a friend's place. And then during the night, there was a train leaving for KL. But only two or three persons could go during that trip. So my mother, the smaller boys, girls, I think, and cousins, I think, went first with some of the ladies. So we remained in Johor for another day, waiting for another trip. The train is only less Johor 3 times a day. I think morning and then afternoon and then there also during the night. So we took turns.
So when did you go back?
That was sometime July or June 1945. I was in Johor and then the trip was at night. From Johor, the last trip, the third trip was my dad and my sisters and myself, and then my married sister's kid, baby, about 8 or 7 or 9 months old, I think, was with me. The parents were with me in Singapore. So during the third trip, that was the last trip among the girls.
How did your family get the tickets?
By the help of the police officer. Otherwise, it was very difficult. But he could speak Japanese well, and then he was known as a police officer. And so we were grateful to him, otherwise we couldn't go by ourselves.
Can you describe to us the conditions in the train that you traveled in?
Oh, no seats at all. People stood up. Some stopped at Johor, some Sundan Samban, all those places. We headed for Kuala Lumpur. No seats, really no seats. In fact, every space there were people standing up, some sitting near the place, and we had to sit on our bags. We were pulling bags, all sat on our bags. No light during the night.
Who were the people who were traveling with your family?
My mother left with my cousin, the three persons. And then my other cousin, about 17, 18 years. My sisters also, a sister, about 13, 14 years, I think. The second trip and third trip, myself, dad, my dad, and a sister, another baby. And then there's another trip to my one brother, I think, left alone. He was the last. He could speak Japanese because he was working with Japanese at the school, what, Singapore? Young boy, I think he was about. Very young, maybe 14, 15. So he traveled last.
Do you know who were the other people in the train?
Oh, I know Malays most of them. We were to go back to Malaysia, to the kampung. Maybe the Chinese packs like sardines. Not lucky, nothing happened to them. Had a collision or something like that.
Did you know why the train was so crowded?
We don't know why people, maybe because Singapore is warm, they are to be in terms of Malaysia. There used to be quite a big stadium, right? Singapore is not to be for them. Maybe you want to go back also due to that, maybe. I can't say.
Were there any Japanese personnel
yes,
in the train?
Yes, the military, they took care of us. And then some of the Japanese also pulled out and we wanted to run away. I was scared. They said that we didn't see anything.
Did you have any encounters?
No, no, nothing. Only the train was so slowly and sometimes we felt so scared, you know, about the combination of the news on the enemy side. Then I said during that time, of course, the allies were those who got contact the allies, maybe that's what we were scared of.
How did you know about them?
We didn't know, but mentioned in the paper sometimes, you know, about the allies approaching Malaysia or somewhere in the Philippines, and then in Sabah, I think you mentioned something about that. And surely you knew that we were just not far away. That was in July. I remember June or July 1945.
How long was the trip from Johor to Kuala Lumpur?
I can't remember, but longer than we know. The service now is half a day only. Maybe morning to evening, we reached there. But that, during that time, it took us the whole night, and then it was the daytime, nearly afternoon until we reached KL. Quite a long time.
On the way there, did you pass any towns?
The old towns, Johor, Samban, all the stations were crowded. Some leaving the train, some set up.
What were your personal impressions of these places?
I you know, because during the night time we couldn't see anything. We were only towards the morning and before we reached there we could see. But from the train we could see, we couldn't see much. Over there in Malaysia, we couldn't see from the train the places, bombs and all that.
When you reach KL, what, Kuala Lumpur, what was your first impression of the city?
Rather quiet. Formerly, there was a difference, of course. Before the war, I felt the place in Kuala Lumpur was happy looking or something like that. But now, it looked, but then when we reached there living in Kamisang, it looked dull to me. Dull and made us feel sad, very, very sad. Maybe we thought of the war. And the war hasn't ended yet, but that's why.
When you stepped out of the train to the station, what did you see?
What is it?
When you step out of the train at the railway station, what did you see?
At the railway station, of course, crowded. Some people, no, because they didn't know. Some of those people maybe knew that they really wanted to go. And the others maybe they wrote that nobody actually was at the station waiting for us. No, I didn't think because they didn't know what time the train was good. But other people, some maybe have been friends, and they were so happy to see us. That my father's friends are happy.
So how did you get from the station to your home in Kuala Lumpur?
We took taxi, and there was very taxis then. Yes, we took taxis. One or two, I can't remember, because we had our luggage in there.
Was it easy to get the transport?
Yes, yes, at the station there were plenty.
Do you remember how much did you pay for
it? I'm sorry, my dad did that. I was just happy to go home, that's all.
Where was your home? In
somewhere in Kampung Bahru. Muslim Malays were there.
So from the station to Kampung Bahru, what do you see on the way back?
Well, the old towns, the buildings were mostly the same, no change. But those that were bombed, maybe had been repaired during the Japanese occupation. So we couldn't see much, not much difference. It was only on the faces of some people we met were some years of me that really, I could notice that. They were not so happy as they used to. That is what I noticed.
What about the place itself? Any changes?
No, but no new buildings. Maybe I didn't notice it. But I think students changed.
Did you see many Japanese as you came back?
Yes. Because the Japanese were in KL still, those people were working for the Japanese. And maybe they were excited about their lives coming back, Japanese also. At least days went on as they used to be during Japanese time. My dad and all of us went straight to the house, our home. Oh, we saw the house so old and shabby. No one. No one was staying there. And my relatives, brother and sister, my eldest sister, Sugurangi, a friend of the neighbors, used to look at the house and lock the house because when the Japanese came there, they occupied the house for some time. And when they left the house, the army and the Japanese army, they left the house open. Good thing our neighbors can look for the house. We're lucky to have good neighbors.
Were there any changes to, besides old and shabby, any other changes to your house?
No, the same. 2.5 years. Because for a few months, it seemed there were friends who occupied the house. They wrote, my eldest sister wrote to my dad, and they gave permission for the family to stay there. Before we left Singapore to return.